wonders galore. Now, we're just a few days into the new year. Have you had any wonders thus far since we started 1994? You say, well, I hadn't any yet, preacher. Oh, I disagree. I think you've had a lot of wonders, but I think you can have a lot more than you have. Now, for a lot of folks, the new year started out just like the old year ended. It was no different. They could look on the calendar and say, yeah, this is a new year, but nothing else really has changed. And if I didn't know the date and did not look at the calendar, it would just be another day. I don't know if very many people wish you a happy new year, but what would it take to make you happy in our new year, 1994? Now, I don't have time for you to write down all the things that you say. Boy, it'd take all these things, preacher, to make me happy in 94. Some would say, well, I'll tell you what, I'd be real happy just to have a repeat of 1993. And if that's the case, good. But for a lot of folks, they look at the new year as an opportunity for definite change. I get a magazine that I subscribe to, and in that magazine was an article entitled, What's in Store in 94? And of course that rhymes, and that intrigued me, and I consider that as a theme for my new year. But the article was about predicting what kind of business success would be enjoyed by this various commodity that I was reading about, art, and what would be the future of the art market for the year 1994, and they were making some predictions as to how they feel sales would go for this new year. Now, I didn't adopt that theme because I cannot make predictions about what's going to happen in 1994. I know that's a popular thing to do. And you can pick up a lot of magazines and listen to a lot of programs and see a lot of programs on TV that deal with this very thing. What are your predictions, sir, for the coming year regarding this and this and this? I did not take that theme because I don't have the ability, people. And I know a lot of people say, well, I have, you know, the gift of prophecy. Well, I do not. I cannot tell you what is going to happen today. In my life, much less in your life, I don't know. So I cannot really stand here and say what's in store in 94 and be accurate in what I can guess, but I don't like to do that. When I say something's in store, then it ought to be in store. That is, you ought to get it. That's the test of a true prophet. Now you say, well, preacher, your theme is awful close to what you say you're not going to do. You're saying we're going to have wonders galore in 94. Are you not making a prediction? Are you not stepping out on a limb and saying we're going to have some things take place in 94 categorized as wonders? How do you know that? Now, normally people think of wonders and miracles as being one and the same thing. I do not. I am not saying you're going to have miracles galore in 94. I am saying you will have wonders galore in 94. Of course, I agree with you. A miracle falls into the category of a wonder. But I also believe not everybody needs a miracle, but everybody needs a wonder. And so I'm saying you may not get that longed-for miracle this year. But I'll tell you this, I will promise you there will be wonders from God galore in 94. Now, all of us are expected to enter the new year with a high hope and great expectations and new energies. And sometimes folks make some very definite resolutions, which is fine. What I'm saying is that most people just enter the new year with the idea, this year things are going to be better. Let's say things are going to be different. This year, things are going to change. And if you want to just bottom line that, this year, I'm going to have me a fair share of wonders. I would agree with that. I believe that is an optimistic way to enter not only the new year, but to enter every day. Now, my question is, how long will your optimism last? Maybe just the few days we have been in the new year, you have already started singing the same old song you ended 1993 with. That is of doom and gloom and doubt and hopelessness has already possibly set in for you for the new year. I hope not. I pray not, and it need not be that way. Just adopt daily the slogan, Wonders Galore, in 94, and even the slogan itself can give you some reason to hope. I know there are always times in our life when we want to throw in the towel and call it quits and to give up. This happens to preachers. It happens to everybody. But at such times, I might find it wise if I would just recall my theme this year. Hey, Billy, how about a Wonder Galore? You giving up on that? And that might, you know, bring me back in line and perk me up. Because, you see, I believe God specializes in wonders. It just seems to be His nature. It just seems to be the thing for God to do. It seems to be the thing He has always wanted to do. It's just something that I expect of God. That's the way He is. Now, the Bible presents that kind of God. You just start reading the Bible for the first time in your life, and you can't even get through the first chapter without realizing God must take delight in working wonders. And as you read the creation story, you're amazed. The first great wonder is God makes everything out of nothing. That's a pretty good wonder. And then the way He does it is another wonder. All He does is just speak a word. Let there be a tree, and boom, that's a wonder. You know, that's a miracle. Well, I don't care what you call it, but God just starts out in the Bible with a wonder. And He goes all the way through Scripture from the beginning. If you go to the book of Revelation and you want to start there, it's a book of one wonder after another. Almost anywhere you flip your Bible open and read just a few chapters, and here we find our God. God Jehovah, the God of the Bible, doing a wonder, as though it's just something He likes to do, like kids want to go out and play. God enjoys showing His power and His strength and working wonders. Well, if He enjoys working wonders so much, why not consider He'll work some for you? He just likes to do it. And so I say to you, we have a God who is more than capable of doing wonders galore in 94. He's going to do them. I mean, there's not been a year come and go that He has not done wonders in. Psalms 33:8-9 says, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. And awe of what? His wonders. For He spoke, and it was done. If you will just get God, if you can, through prayer, just get God to speak the word, folks, you can have any kind of wonder God will give you. If He'll just say, you got it, you'll have it. He has the power to give you any kind of wonder. You remember what all Jesus did for the lame man? He said, take up your bed and walk. I mean, He didn't get out His surgical tools, and He didn't go into any physical therapy. He just said, get up and walk, fella. The words of God just spoken produced the wonder. He told Peter, you want to walk on water? Okay, get out of the boat and walk on water. Yeah. Now, that's the wonder, you see. All Jesus did was say, well, just get out of the boat and walk. Now, of course, God did some kind of wonder somewhere, you know, but all Jesus did to work the wonder was just speak the word. Then the storm came up, and He said, storm, be still. And the wind died down, the storm went away. All He did was just say, go away. Told the man dead 4 days, Lazarus in the grave. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't get out there and blow any air in his lungs. He didn't, you know, this guy was decaying. He just said, come out of the grave. And here he came. So now, you know, we have a God that worked wonders all through Scripture. So all you need to do is just get God to say it, boy, and it's done. It's done. Just say the word, and a wonder appears on the scene. We just can't imagine the power that resides in our God, just in His spoken word. We don't know how God's power works, but folks, it works. That's all I can say to you. And wonders galore in 94 will be absolutely no problem to the God that we serve. So rid yourself of the notion that wonders are rare and that wonders are hard to obtain and wonders are the experience of only a chosen few. Wonders are not as scarce as hen's teeth. They're not in the Bible, and they're not to us either. Jeremiah 33:3, God asked you and me, why don't you ask me for a wonder? Jeremiah, he said, call unto me. You say, oh, that's just Jeremiah. He's not making that promise to me. I think he is. Now, I'll take this one and extend it to you and me. I won't take every promise that God gives somebody in the Old Testament as ours, but I will say you can claim this one. I believe this one. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That doesn't sound like a God to me that is reluctant to give wonders. He even invites, encourages, and advises. Jeremiah, ask me, and I'll do things that even you can't imagine that I will do. In Psalms 96:3, he says, declare God's glory among the unsaved and declare his wonders among all people. Well, now, if God's not going to do us any wonders, we sure can't declare them. Huh? Now, I don't think you'll go around making up stuff. God says, I'll give you wonders. All you have to do is just declare. How many wonder testimonies do you have? We have a lot of folks who say when they give a testimony, they give their salvation testimony. Well, how about some wonder testimonies? That God has done something that you consider to be, oh, I don't necessarily mean a miracle, I mean a wonder. Not many folks give wonder testimonies. And if they do, they're old sometimes as the hills. They're 10, 15, 20 years. You ought to have a wonder testimony every week. Not every year, but every week. You ought to say, give me one wonder every week. But I can testify to you. Just give me one wonder. Folks, you've had already 100 wonders today. But I mean, probably you haven't recognized it. Joshua 3:5 says, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, and tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now that really should be the way we ought to enter every day. As said before we retire, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now have you entered the new year this time with high hopes that your wonders will be multiplied from God? I hope you have. The psalmist in 71:7 says, I am a wonder. I am a wonder unto many. It's an interesting text. I'll comment on that in a few minutes. I am a wonder. Well, you really are. If you're born again, you that's your salvation testimony, wonder. But you're more than that. There really is a wonder concerning you that you could testify of. And I'll mention that in a few seconds. Luke 18:27. Jesus encourages us to expect wonders from God. He says, the things which are impossible with men, I want you to remember, are possible with God, implying God is the worker of wonders. Now, one of the problems that we have is that we don't recognize wonders when they happen. Psalm 72:18, blessed be the Lord God who doth only wondrous things. Do you get that? Everything God does, according to Psalm 72:18, is a wonder. Everything God does is a wonder. And James 1:17 says, every, I'm not stuttering, I'm getting it where I want you to understand it. Every good gift, I'm going to change that word gift to wonder, every good wonder and every perfect wonder comes from above, comes down from the Father. How many wonders? Everyone. And you and I receive wonders galore every day. I've mentioned this sometime in past, and I want to say it again, that I'd rather have just a simple wonder every day than a miracle. I stand here right now, and as far as I know, I don't have cancer, and so therefore, I'm not going to have a testimony for you. I had cancer and God healed me. Let me tell you something. I'd rather not have the cancer, and I'd rather not have the healing testimony. I'd just rather have the wonder of being normal and not afflicted by cancer. I'd rather have the wonder of God keeping me free from any disease than getting the disease, going through the anguish and the sickness, and then getting a healing from the disease and put right back in the same state I was before I got sick. I tell you, I'd rather have the wonder, the supernatural wonder of just a normal good health today than a supernatural miracle of restoring me to health after I've gotten sick and experienced pain. How about you? How about you? It's the wonder. See, people, oh, I've got a wonder testimony, a miracle. I was almost killed in this car wreck. Folks, to me, to wonder is that I missed that car, and I missed that tragedy, and I missed that trip to the emergency room, and I missed all those bandages and all those crutches. And yes, God spared me, but He spared me the wreck. Now, folks, that to me is a wonder. And I thank God every time I pass by a car within a matter of 6 or 7 feet going the opposite direction, I got a wonder. He didn't swerve over. He didn't hit me. I think supernatural miracles are great, but I think something's greater is if I can walk through today without having to go and get me a supernatural miracle. Now, you can say what you want to, but I tell you what, there are wonders galore in 94 of that kind. What would you rather have? A healing testimony or a well body that does not need to be healed because God has worked the wonder of keeping you well? I'll take the first one. All right? I'll take the first one. That's why I said in the beginning, not everybody needs a miracle, but everybody needs a wonder. I want the wonders. And then if I don't get the wonders, I'll look for the miracles. But I want the wonders. I know life can't be free of all problems and all tragedies and all pain and suffering. You can't. That's heaven. But I'm saying every day I miss one, and every second I miss one of those tragedies. Hey, that's a wonder. That's a wonder. As somebody said in the Bible, as they drop around me like flies, I stand. Hey, brethren, that's a wonder. I'll take those wonders any way you want to look at it. And I say to you right now, as Jesus saying, as Psalmist said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who only does wondrous things. Well, that's not really what I want to talk about this morning. I want to really dwell on the wonders that I call spiritual wonders. Now, I'm talking about natural wonders before, but I want to talk about spiritual wonders because our life oftentimes is very empty of spiritual wonders. And that's primarily our fault. Primarily our fault. We don't have enough spiritual wonders as Christians. If we got up and testified that I today did not get sick, that's a wonder. And that's great testimony for God. But I want us to have in 94 spiritual wonders galore. Now, that's really what I'm talking about. Now, so what do you mean? I'm talking about opportunities that God gives you this year that may never come again. And if you will do what He asks you to do, speak a word, or go, or obey, a wonder will happen. Somebody will get saved. Somebody's marriage will be saved. Some life will be transformed. Somebody's conduct will improve. Relationships between children and parents will improve because that's a spiritual wonder. It'll take the working of Almighty God to pull it off. But He'll use you in 94 if you let Him. And so I'm talking about wonders now that you don't have any idea of the opportunity God's going to place in your way. And how He can use you and will use you if you'll just let Him. And that if is the real condition of what I call spiritual wonders. Circumstances can change this year for you and for other people that concern you and have produced a burden in your life. This year can be a year in which God really does wonders in the lives of people. And you can be a part of that. But it's going to require God getting a wonder out of you. And that wonder is that you'll serve Him. Because a lot of times you see, God says, man, it would be a wonder. It would be almost a miracle if that guy would serve me this year. I mean, he has goofed off for 15 years. And I could have really used him in many ways, but he just wouldn't serve me. I mean, I couldn't count on him. Now, folks, If you're going to have spiritual wonders, God has got to be able to use you. You have to be available. And you have to be obedient. You can't live in sin and God give you spiritual wonders. You know, you wreck your prayer life when you do that. And your prayers are going to be the key source of getting God opening doors and getting God to use you and getting people changed that you're going to be concerned about. You have to be obedient. And for God, he said, well, boy, it'd be a wonder this year if this guy behaves himself. It'd be a wonder. Well, we're going to have to give God wonders galore in 94 for God to give us spiritual wonders in 94. It's going to have to go two ways. There have to be labors that you know you ought to perform, but you never have. You got to give God that wonder. If in doing so, God takes your labors and gives you a wonder. You know? It's going to have to go both ways. If you want God to give you a wonder, he's got to make some sacrifices of time and whatever it takes of his influence and of his power to get that thing accomplished. Well, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. Spiritual wonders require sacrifice from you and from God. Both ways. We're going to miss out on spiritual wonders this year if we ask not. He said, you know, Jeremiah, call on me now. Call on me. You got to ask me. So we're going to miss some this year because we just don't ask. Secondly, we're going to miss some because we will not work. And we're going to miss some because we will lack faith. We will believe. And we're going to miss some because we refuse to wait on God to make his move. And we'll quit asking and we'll quit working and we'll quit calling. And we'll get impatient and we'll lose out on a spiritual wonder. And we'll, watch out, we'll care not. We'll reach a point we don't care whether God gives us a wonder galore or not. Now, you got to be real careful. If you want God to give you spiritual wonders, and folks, this is really what we're called to do as Christians now. We're more concerned about the other kind of wonders, the natural wonders, the healing wonders, the financial wonders. And God said, I'm primarily concerned about the spiritual wonders. And I'll give you some open doors and opportunities and circumstances if you'll just work with me. We'll see some spiritual wonders galore in 94. Now, that's really my theme. When I say wonders galore in 94, I want you to have the best God can give you, but I also want God to get the best he can out of us. The wonders that accompany our living and working and praying in the will of God. The wonders that will be associated with fulfilling God's plan for your life. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know what the wonders are. But boy, there will be people throughout eternity that will thank you for these kind of wonders. And I hope you have spiritual wonders galore in 94. That you have more prayers answered than you've ever had answered. You have more people influenced for God than you've ever influenced. You see more people saved because of you than you've ever seen. I want to see spiritual wonders in my life and your life galore in 94. It's going to all depend on whether or not I'm willing to work, and I'm willing to pray, and I'm willing to go, and I'm willing to obey. This is the year I believe we can have spiritual wonders galore. We can have victory wonders galore in 94. This is the year that we can have victory over some besetting sin. This is it, folks. If we'll really go after it, you'll see a wonder. The advancement of God's kingdom in your home and your family and your city, it's up to you. There are out there, I'll guarantee you, there are out there wonders galore in 94. They're there, ripe for the picking. Depends on how bad you and I want them. I'm talking now about spiritual wonders, the things that will gain you rewards in heaven. May the Lord bless you, and may you have a happy new year, and may you have wonders galore of all varieties in 94.